Before we start today's Revive Our Hearts with guest Kay Arthur, Nancy Lee DeMoss remembers a dramatic evening.
At True Woman 12 in the Indiana Convention Center, an unexpected moment came when Priscilla Shire got up to speak.
I hope that this weekend you did not just bring your cup. I hope you brought your cup and your saucer because he's filling us up to overflowing today, isn't he? And let me tell you something, if there's any overflow, I don't know about you guys, but I want to catch all of it. Anybody with me?
Here's what Johnny Erickson Tata remembers about that night.
A Niagara Falls of rain crashed down on the roof of the Indianapolis Convention Center. It was thunderous. At the same moment, this woman did not skip a beat.
No matter how big the crowd gets, no matter how loud the rain falls, no matter how much chaos is going on all around you, you need to know that he sees you, that he cares about you, that the details of your life are not lost on him.
And I prayed even as she spoke above the roar, oh God, bring us all showers of blessing.
Let it fall in here, Lord, let it fall in here.
Now here's what we do expect at True Woman 14. We'll hear from Johnny Erickson Tata and Janet Parshall and Keith and Kristen Getty, who've all been with us before. And then this year, we'll also be joined by some new guests, including spoken word artist Blair Lynn, speaker, author, and blogger Angie Smith, and Lauren Chandler. You've perhaps heard her husband, Matt Chandler, preach from Dallas, and others who will be joining us for that weekend. But most importantly, we're asking the Lord to come and do a great work in all of our hearts. So I want to encourage you to start making your plans now to attend True Woman 14, which is coming to Indianapolis next October. And if you register between now and November 25th, you can get $50 off your registration. That's even lower than the early bird discount. You can get more details or register for True Woman 14 at reviveourhearts.com.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Wednesday, November 13th. For the last couple of days, Kay Arthur has been sharing with us her passion for God's Word. Today, she'll give us an example of how to approach the later seasons of life. It's part three of a series called Looking Back After 80 Years.
It's been such a joy to have a conversation with my dear friend, longtime friend, Kay Arthur, as she approached her 80th birthday, which she just celebrated earlier this week. And she is no stranger to many of our listeners. Many of you have done the precept Bible studies, the inductive studies. You've been taught to love God's Word. In fact, we put a thing out on Facebook earlier this week asking people what they would like to say to Kay or what they would like to ask her. And one of our listeners wrote in and said, I love Kay Arthur. I credit the Lord first and foremost, and then Precept Ministries for helping me learn to study the Bible. And Kay, I know thousands and thousands of people worldwide could say that same thing to you and would want to say it to you this week as you're celebrating your 80th birthday. So thank you for giving of yourself to this ministry. And thank you for not retiring it 65 or something a long time ago. Thank you that you're still staying in there and staying fresh.
Well, you know, there's a verse, and it says, in essence, that there's no retirement in the time of war. And I really believe it's the time of war. I believe that we are going to face a warfare in our nation like we have never seen before if we walk with the Lord, if we hold forth his word in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. And so there's no retirement. I mean, you know, I'll retire when God takes me home or makes me incapable, which I'm praying that won't happen to me, but which makes me incapable of doing anything. I mean, I'm on the front lines until then.
Well, you have been such an inspiration and an example to many of us, younger women and servants of the Lord who watch people like you and say, look, if God can give them grace to do this in their older years, he can give me grace to stay in the race, stay in the battle, stay faithful. And you have been an inspiration to me in that way. And I want us to talk today about something that some people aren't comfortable talking about, but I know that you are. And that's the whole thing about getting older. And I'm looking here in Psalm 92, at this wonderful passage beginning in verse 12. Let me read it here. It says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." I love that picture because it says—
I love it too. Are you trying to tell me I'm sappy?
I'm not. I'm trying to tell you that I'm really happy that you are still flourishing and growing and serving and fruitful. And that gives me encouragement because I see some people who just, you know, they have this kind of, you know, expiration date or something, and they reach a certain age and they pull out of commission and are no longer intentional about seeking the Lord and serving the Lord. But you have modeled for us what I think is a much more biblical approach, and that is faithful to the fight, faithful to the faith, and faithful to the finish. So I want to just talk about this thing of getting older. You said a couple days ago in our conversation, it's hard to imagine that you're turning 80. As you think back years ago, did you ever have any fears or apprehensions about the thought of getting older, or is that something that you have just anticipated with great joy?
No, I haven't had any fears or apprehensions about getting older. My concern is that I will finish well, that I will be able to say, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that he's fought the good fight, he's kept the faith, he's finished his course. And so that's been my concern. And my concern is not, you know, old age doesn't bother me. I want you girls to know that I used to be so tired. In fact, you would hear me on the old teaching tape saying I felt like I was magnetized to mattresses. There was a period, I didn't know it, but I was going through menopause, I guess, and I kept thinking I had the flu, and Jan Silvius would say to me, "I am so tired of hearing you say that you have the flu." And I said, "Okay, I have the ulf, we'll spell it backwards." But I look back and I think, you know, I was so tired then. I'm not as tired now as I was during that period of time. So I want to tell the women, "Hangest thou in there, O baby." Okay.
Well, it reminds me of what Isaiah 40 says, that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength.
Right.
And that's exactly what you've been experiencing, even in a physical way.
Exactly. And yet, you know, I'm doing other things. I've lost weight. I've been getting on my treadmill. For me to sit down, I mean, get on a treadmill for 30 minutes when I'm so busy studying and writing and doing ministry is very hard. 10 minutes I can rationalize, and three times a day. So I'm taking care of myself. I take Juice Plus, which is fruits and vegetables and berries every single day. I've been doing that for 11 years. And very rarely do I have what I'm dealing with as I talk to you, this upper respiratory junk. I try to eat wisely. I'm cooking more vegetables and eating more fruit and things like that. And so I'm taking care of myself. I look also, and this is my vanity, but I look and I think, oh, old women start piling on so much jewelry, or they start doing this with their makeup and they don't get it right. So I'm trying to present a whole person that is taking care of his temple to be an example among the believers and walk in the way that God wants me to walk. And what thrills me to death is when these young teenage girls and college girls are standing there, these girls in their 20s and 30s, and you know, saying, "I want to be like you when I get to be 80 or when I get to be, you know, whatever."
So what would you say to those younger women who would like to be fresh and full of life and fruitful at the age of 80? What counsel would you give them now in their 20s or 30s or 40s that can help them head that way?
I would tell them, first of all, the word. And you know that that's always, always key. And it's like health to our bones anyway. So I would tell them the word. Then I would tell them to live according to the word, because stress really does you in, and sin really does you in, and it does you in, mm-hmm. and will take its toll. And so you want to live righteously. You want to laugh. You want to have a sense of humor so that you can laugh at yourself.
Let me ask you about that because you're very productive. You're very busy. Sometimes somebody could listen to parts of this conversation and think this woman never relaxes. She never slows down. Is there a place for fun, for rest, for leisure, for hobbies in the Christian life? What's your view on some of that?
I think there is, as long as it doesn't take away from what God has called you to. I love people. And so sharing with them, you know, I'll go out to lunch with the girls. I just took off. My husband has Alzheimer's. My son has had a major stroke, you know, and so I've been taking care of both of them or meeting whatever needs they had. And then I've been on 3 writing deadlines. I've written a new 40-minute study on finding hope after divorce and another study on heaven, hell, and life after death, and then working on Acts. I've been a busy girl. One of the things that I just did is I said, okay, I'm going to take off. And for 5 days, 2 of my girlfriends and I got together, and we met each other at Lake Burton, where one lives, and then we went up to the Highlands and stayed in a home of friends. They were gone, and we just knocked around. You know, they were both, one's house burned to the ground, and the other one is building another house, and so they were having to outfit it because they downsized. So we went around and we looked at antique shops. We went to resale shops for clothes and stuff like this. And we just hung around, you know. We talked about the Lord. We laughed. We had a good time. And
did you find that that was recharging for you?
Yes, it was very recharging to me.
Is there anything else you do to stay just spiritually and emotionally replenished? What keeps you recharged and encouraged?
One of the things I would tell the girls is this. Get enough sleep. If you're married, sleep is vital for that physical union that you have with your husband because you get so tired. But it is so important to get adequate sleep and to think that you can run on 6 hours. You know what the Lord showed me? I wish I'd learned it sooner, but he showed me that if he made our bodies and he made them to need 7 to 9 hours of sleep, it depends on the person, somewhere in there, 7 to 9 hours, 7 being minimum, of sleep, for me to think that because I'm serving the Lord, I can abuse that is presumptuous sin. And so the Lord showed me that, and I wasn't to be presumptuous. Now, there are extenuating circumstances. Somebody's in a crisis or
has a lot of little ones.
Yeah, or you have a lot of little ones and they've kept you up. But it is important. It's important to get enough sleep. The other thing is I believe women need good, healthy female relationships. I believe that they need good friends that they can trust, that they can pour out their hearts to, that are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And so are not going to condone you in any sin. And all of this going back to the primary one is with the Lord. And the other thing is that you don't beat yourself up or think that God cannot use you because you didn't have your quiet time that morning. Because there are times when I don't have my quiet time in the morning. And yet in him I live and move and have my being. I have a storehouse of scripture in my heart from studying it and marking it and discussing it with others and studying the way I do. So the Lord can bring that back to remembrance. So the relationship with the Lord, I don't think should ever be legalistic. I think it should be because you want to be with him.
Yeah.
Because you need to be with him, you know.
One of the things, Kay, that I've seen in some women as they get older, some get really sweet and more gracious, and others get more cranky and irritable and negative. And I've looked at both kinds and I've thought, okay, I know my bent personally would probably be to lean more toward the negative, especially as you see things changing. And I want to become more gracious, more sweet, more tenderhearted. How do you keep from becoming a negative, grumpy, critical old lady who's resistant to change? How do you become the other kind of woman?
I think it's because I felt the same way. I want to become sweeter. I want to become more like Christ. So I think that you determine, as you said, you've determined, and I've determined that that's the way I want to be. That 2 Corinthians 5:9, I have as my ambition, whether in my body or out of my body, so until I die. And get my new body. And then there is my ambition, to be pleasing to him. And so I think they get set in their ways. I think that they isolate themselves from society. And one of the things is when my son was in a nursing home after the stroke, and I would go up there, my heart would break. I wish there were more of me so I could do more. But my heart would break, and I thought, these people are just sitting here in the hall around the nurse's station, not talking to anybody, heads drooped over, shoulders down, and nobody's talking to them or invigorating them or anything. And I think it's important, you know, as you get older, if you become incapacitated, you can always pray, you know, determine that you're not going to get old. Determine that you're not going to think of yourself as old. Think of yourself as seasoned. Think of yourself as redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you know what my passion is?
Tell me.
My passion is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. After David takes the throne, etc., and Saul is dead, and David takes the throne, and he takes Jerusalem and that, then God stops in Chronicles, and which is written after the captivity, so that they can learn lessons. But he stops in Chronicles, and he talks about this army of mighty men who helped David in war. And it says that they came to David at Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him. And this is what I love, according to the word of the Lord. We are living between the first coming and the second coming. The first coming, he comes as a lamb. The second coming, as a lion. The first coming, as a sacrifice. The second coming, as a reigning king. It's getting closer and closer to his coming. And in 1 Chronicles 12 is where you find the sons of Issachar. There, and he's telling the different men from the different tribes that came over. They were men who understood the times with a knowledge of what Israel should do. In Luke 12, Jesus starts preparing his disciples for suffering and telling them, now don't fear, and I'm going to give you what you need and everything. And then he brings it all to a close as he turns to this huge multitude and says, you hypocrites, you know, you can discern the weather. But he says, you aren't discerning the times. We need to discern the times. We need to be about God's business. If anything's going to keep you young, if it's going to keep you on the cutting edge, it's to see what's happening in the culture and determine that you are going to take your cross and follow him, and no matter what it costs you, even if people walk away, I've had people walk out when I teach, because I'm holding forth the word of life, because I'm saying this is what God says.
Kay, when I was a younger woman, a young adult woman, I think I had this image in my head that as I got old, whatever that was, that I would struggle less with temptation, with sin, with, you know, besetting sins. And as I've gotten older, I've realized sometimes the battle is more intense, not less. I think that was a little surprising to me. And I just wonder what you found. Do you struggle more or less with temptation, with besetting sins? As an older woman, how has that changed for you?
I think the temptations as an older woman have more to do with who you are, with maybe pride or your way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's, I think it decreases with sexual temptations, but I think it increases with anything that would come in the area of pride or self-reliance, or I can do it, or I'm not going to take it, or I have a right.
What about in the area of pressures? You mentioned earlier in this conversation that you're going through some great pressures at this point of your life. And I think sometimes as younger women, we think that life is going to get easier. And yet you've been through some really difficult chapters in your life through your 70s. Did that come as a surprise to you? Were you prepared for that?
No, it did not come as a surprise, because one of the things that I am so cognizant of, because of the way I study and because of what I've studied, is that suffering and trials and temptations are always there because we live in a body of flesh, but they're always there because that's God's way of refining us. So when I hear, you know, when I'm sitting in the doctor's office and the doctor tells my husband that he has Alzheimer's, you know, it just kind of, in a sense, it breaks your heart. And it breaks your heart, especially if you understand it. When those pressures come, they're trials that God is using to refine me. And if I can understand that this is so, when I see him face to face, I won't be ashamed. You know, I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for the deeds done in my body. That is a godly fear. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so to fear him, to respect him, to trust him, to reverence him, when is that going to show? It's going to show in the midst of a trial. And also, I think as I study Acts, and of course, one of the favorite books that I've written, one of my favorite study books that I've written is Lord, Give Me a Heart for You. And it's not because I wrote it, but it's because it's 2 Corinthians. And it's a devotional study, you know, that you can take and use through your quiet time, and you will really be studying 2 Corinthians. But reading that, where Paul bears his soul like he does in no other book, and he calls them momentary light afflictions.
Yeah, they don't always feel that way, though, right?
I know they don't feel like that. But the thing is keeping our perspective. And it's the Word that helps me keep my perspective and staying in the Word. And so when I read that, and then I'm reading in Acts, and you know, here they stone Paul, and they think he's dead, and then he gets up and goes back into the city. I mean, I sometimes this is what I do. As I sit in my bedroom in this beautiful setting, peaceful setting, and I have my Bible. I'm not going to go to prison. I'm not yet. I'm not going to be persecuted yet for what I'm teaching. I mean, I'll be talked about. I won't be liked and stuff like this, but that goes with the territory. But my freedom's not threatened right yet. I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming for the United States. So I'm sitting there, and I have people in Uzbekistan, 21 of them facing trials, going out into the woods in order to worship God, you know, paying fines. Two of our men from Syria are missing. We're coming out with an Arabic inductive study Bible so that when they get a Bible, they will know how to study it, not what to believe, because if they study it the right way, they'll know what to believe. But and I think, God, here I am praying for these people. Look at where I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the wardrobe I have. Look at the food I have. Look at the car I have. Look at the house I have. I have shelter. I have food. I have clothing. And here are my brothers and sisters in Christ.
As you're sharing, Kay, I'm thinking of that passage from Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul was talking to those elders from the church of Ephesus, and he said, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. And you think, how do you endure that? How do you consider that a light and momentary affliction? How do you stay the course? How do you not give up? How do you not throw in the towel? And I think that next verse, which was my dad's life verse, Acts 20, verse 24, gives the reason. He says, but I don't account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And he's saying, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. That is all that matters. And if we can keep it as that's all that matters, then old age is not bad. Because he's saying, I want to finish my course. I want to finish the ministry, and this is what we need to see, which I receive from the Lord Jesus. Some of the times I get concerned because everybody's looking for a ministry, and to them a ministry is writing a book and being on a platform, you know, or in
yes.
the media, or well-recognized.
Right.
And that's not it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you are so right in 2 Corinthians, you know, where it says that in chapter 4, while I look not at the things that are seen. So when I look in the mirror and I see a wrinkle, I'm supposed to have wrinkles. Part of this comes with old age.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. Yes, it's part of life. But the whole thing that we want to do, and see, I love it in Philippians where he's in prison and that, and he's not really sure in that first chapter whether he's going to be allowed to stay or whether God's going to take him home. So he says in Philippians chapter 1, and he's talking about, he wants them to pray for him because people are trying to cause him distress in his imprisonment. And then he says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. In this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. He says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. And I love this, the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If we only realized all that we have through the Spirit, you know, and then he says this, and I love this, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is old age and wrinkles. It says, for to me to live
is Christ. Yeah.
And to die is gain. And then he says, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I don't know which to choose. And so death is not an enemy. You know, death is welcome home, Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. The stinger has been taken out of death. So when I step into death, like your dad's verse, is I want to finish my course. You know, I want to hear as well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to shrink back in shame at his coming. I don't want to, I think about Luke 19, having just taught it, and how one guy takes the mina that the Lord has given him and wraps it in a handkerchief and gives him the same thing when he gets back. And Jesus just, takes him to task about that. And so many people, we're sitting in church and we're doing nothing. We have time for all sorts of things, but we don't have time to study the Word of God. We don't have time to, dig deep into it and let it go deep into us. And this distresses me. I feel that the most foundational thing that any Christian can do, I believe it's primary, and that is to sit at the feet of God in the Word of God, with God as your teacher, teaching you precept upon precept what He wants you to do and believe and live.
Kay Arthur has been talking with Nancy Lee DeMoss. They recorded that conversation as Kay was nearing her 80th birthday, which she celebrates this week. We'd like you to know God's Word precept upon precept, like Kay was talking about. So we'd like to send you her book, Discover the Bible for Yourself. She'll give you several tools for digging into God's Word. She'll give you an introduction to each book of the Bible, and she'll explain an approach for how to better understand the Bible passage you're reading. When you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount, we'll send the book by Kay Arthur, Discover the Bible for Yourself. Ask for it when you call 1-800-569-5959. Again, it's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, tomorrow, Kay Arthur will be back, explaining why she wants to make her later years count. It will encourage you to make every day count, too. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.